Hey, it's Beth Phoenix from the WWE, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on Sports Radio 1280 WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for February 27th. Holidays today, Polar Bear Day, No Brainer Day, and Open That Bottle Night, which sounds like a good idea for a Saturday night. Why not? It's a beautiful weekend here in Rochester. I want you to know the Pain Clinic is brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire Culver's. You may have noticed I skipped the birthdays, and because there aren't any this week for the 27th. Hey, interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're interested in the men's team, it's flowercityfear.com, F-L-O-U-R. Welcome to the show this week. I am the host, the cash man with the most, and I'm here with D.C. Dan Cole from North Carolina. Good morning, D.C.
Good morning.
And to his right, to your radio left, it is Danger Boy. How you doing, Danger?
Good morning.
Wow, we got some good clear sound and audio this week. But just below in the center square, it's Furby. What's up, Furby?
What a beautiful Saturday here.
Yeah. Heavens to Megatroid. The center square usually has those weird sayings. And to his left, your radio right, it's Rob Sanderson, the artist. How are you doing today?
Good morning. It's a beautiful morning here right now.
It is.
In the morning time. I've become much more of a morning person in recent months.
Isn't it
for the
great
show? So.
Well, we appreciate that, man. We couldn't do it without you guys, definitely. And I appreciate you guys being here. So, hey, we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. We had a lot of things go on this past week. We had last weekend, we got to see the Elimination Chamber. And we will definitely get into that a little bit. But first, I want to talk about probably the biggest news of the week. I mean, I think it is. And, you know, he's a pretty big guy to talk about. On Wednesday, or was it Tuesday? It was Wednesday. Wednesday was announced that the Big Show, Paul White, had been signed by AEW to come on. And to not only, I think he's going to wrestle, and I mean, now we can continue with the idea of him versus Shaq happening, but also he's going to be hosting a TV show called Dark Elevation. It's going to be Monday night. It starts this Monday, I believe, and on YouTube. No, not this Monday. Okay,
March 15th is the debut night.
Okay, so it's 2 weeks from Monday. And but I'm sure we're going to see the Big Show on AEW come out by before then, maybe even next week. But because next week's show is just a stacked one for AEW, by the way. But now they've added the Big Show, and you know, and a lot of people are saying, you know, Big Show, he was just in a TV show. He's like in movies in WWE. He's like the guy who comes out. You know, maybe it was not you know, suspicious that he wasn't at the Royal Rumble or in the Royal Rumble this year, but I'm not really sure, you know, the mitigating circumstances of why he's coming over to AEW. I think it's a great idea, and you know, he's got the 20 years under his belt wrestling now, but was there any reason, particular reason? I mean, he picked a good time. I know that his contract ran out. That's usually a good sign of how when they sign.
His contract ran out, and secretly they, you know, without much fanfare, they moved him to the alumni page last week. but said that when he was backstage for Legends Night, he was not very happy with what they had planned for him and had been that way, kind of stewing for a while. His show had already been canceled off Netflix. So it was just a, you know, a matter of time, and they couldn't come to a deal on money at Legends Night. So that left the door open, and Tony Khan swooped right in.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I mean, and so now Paul White is AEW, you know, and you know, I did mention the thing, you know, there's always been dabblings between him and Shaq, and now we get Shaq, you know, I mean, do you think he's going to be thrown into that? I mean, we're going to get that on free TV on March 3rd, right? That's
good. Yeah, we're supposed to get that match, and, you know, Cody's nursing an injury. I've heard it thrown around that maybe the injury is a little worse than everybody's letting on, so they can lead to this. Who knows exactly what's going to happen? If he's not involved with standing up to Shaq at some point in that show, because he's supposed to be there on Wednesday, I would be very surprised.
DC, what do you think?
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I was stunned when the news came across on Wednesday, just because it was one of those things where you hadn't heard any rumbling. So it was one of those things where it was really a surprise. You know, based on what I've heard, they offered him a Legends deal. It was substantially less than what he had been making under a normal superstar contract. So that was one of the deciding factors. But yeah, I mean, a huge get, no pun intended, but it fits. But it really, a huge get for AEW. Because, yeah, he's one of those guys ever since he debuted. God, what year was the cage match with Austin and McMahon? Was that 98, 99? He's been with WWE.
Was that Valentine? It had like a Valentine's Day theme to it.
St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The steel cage match, Vince and Austin. He comes up through the mat and throws Austin through the cage. I mean, he's been with them he's wrestled with them for four decades now. So that's huge.
I mean, he's a guy who in his very first match in wrestling ever faced Hulk Hogan, and I believe he won the title from him. In his very first match, I know that he
after getting knocked off an arena,
yeah,
with a monster truck earlier in the night,
yeah, getting knocked, you know, that was a heck of a debut. He's had a couple heck of a debuts, so hopefully we'll get a heck of a debut for him in AEW. What do you think, Artiste? I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, used to make fun of WCW in the day, saying it was the retirement community for WWE or WWF at the time. You know, is Big Show going to come in and play a big part, or is he going to be like, you know, is he going to seamlessly come in and be part of the announce crew as well, or what, you know, what do you think?
I mean, I think it's a big get. Obviously, nobody expected this, and it was fun to see the reactions from talent on Twitter on Wednesday, the reactions from guys like Marco Stunt, who's said like Big Show's his favorite wrestler of all time and stuff. And, you know, now maybe we'll get that match, things like that. I think it's a, you know, we'll see him wrestle here and there. I think he's proven that he's at that celebrity level of pro wrestler that it draws a lot of attention. I didn't necessarily love that they announced it online on the day of a taped show, only a week before he's actually going to show up on the Shaq night and everything. You know, as a wrestling fan, I kind of wish he had just made that surprise appearance in front of a live crowd. But I get it. You know, you try to pop the ratings on Wednesday to see them talk about it. But, you know, we get to see him commentate. We get to see him do a little bit. I think more than anything, it's going to be huge. You know, he's another one of those guys that people have talked about how helpful he could be, how much experience he has. He, you know, behind the scenes, he'll probably do a lot for that company that we'll never see, you know, but helping the younger talent along and stuff like that. So, you know, we'll see how the commentary goes. But I think overall it is really a huge signing and just another big name to add to the mix. And I don't think he's going to be somebody that's going to come in and, you know, grab the world title. So it's not one of those situations where it's just like, oh, here we go. Like Hulk Hogan's coming to TNA and bringing the Nasty Boys. Like, to me, this is on a different level. So props to Tony Khan for getting it done.
Definitely. What about you, Ferbs? Thoughts on,
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty shocked, honestly, because just like DC said, not really anybody heard about it, really didn't have a clue. And then to see on social media that he's all elite now is pretty kind of fascinating and amazing in this world where it seems like a lot of talent is changing hands. But along the lines of what everybody else said, you know, a Big Show, it's a big deal, honestly. You know, a lot of experience. He's going to have his hand in a lot of baskets. you know, he'll wrestle from time to time. Again, he's got a lot of experience. He'll be able to help a lot of guys backstage and really help feed a lot of the younger talent some tips, pointers, things, and, you know, just everything about the business, and really just make it an even stronger company overall. So it's pretty exciting time.
So this is what I want to throw out there. We knew for a long time that AEW is going to get a second hour on TNT. Now, the initial press release. This is not it. The initial press release about the big show walked hand in hand with the press release about the new show that I mentioned a minute ago, Dark Elevation, which will be 7 p.m. on Monday nights. And the new AEW signing, Paul White, will be one of the commentators for Elevation. So the interesting thing is Tony Khan did some press, and people were saying, so is this what you're talking about? And he said, no, that's still going to happen down the line. So they still have another one-hour show promised to be on TNT. Maybe it'll be after basketball season ends. I don't know. But that's what really surprised me. It's because, like, okay, they're building more content into, like, the digital content, the digital stream, you know, the digital YouTube and the way that they're doing things. And I think that's great. And I'm excited for when they eventually can announce to do more time on TNT or whenever it may be. But I definitely adding these names are definitely big. And I know, and I heard kind of through some of the rumors that the Big Show was kind of going through some financial issues at the time, too. And he really wasn't in a good place when his contract with WWE ran out. And so the Tony Khan came to the rescue, and which Tony Khan seems to do that a lot for people, which I think is pretty cool. I don't have a problem at all with that. You know, he definitely values this guy that they're bringing in to do a lot more than just wrestle. I'm guessing he will wrestle once in a while. And I mean, you can think about some of the, you know, the little guys with like big man complexes in AEW. And, you know, you can imagine some of the matchups that are going to happen with the big, you know, people are going to mess with the Big Show and stuff. I think that whatever they're going to call him, Paul White, they could call him I'm sure that there's a few names they could call
Captain him. Captain Insano.
Yeah. You know, maybe we'll get Adam Sandler to show up, you know, but I think it's just really, it's really, really cool. And I think he's definitely a benefit to the team. And I think, you know, every time they've added announcers since the show has started, the announcers are usually better and better each time. And it'll be interesting to see what he has to say. I'm guessing he's going to pop up sometime next week on the show just because of the Shaq match is supposed to be going on. And, you know, they have kind of a personal.
Yeah, they confirmed he'll be there on Wednesday live show.
He definitely will. Okay, definitely. So I'm excited for that. We're going to.
Just in regards to the AEW Dark and Elevation and everything, I'm excited that there's going to be more content. I just hope they start to do more like storyline stuff on those shows. I know it's like digital content and it's not really out there it is out there for the masses, but maybe not everybody watches as much as, you know, on Dynamite on Wednesdays, but I hope they start to do some more storyline stuff with it. Just seeing match after match after match gets a little tough to watch when a lot of it's just enhancement talent and you don't really know the stories behind a lot of these guys for some people who are watching it for the first time.
No, you make.
I hope that this makes like Dark become kind of what it was originally when they were touring, and you would get three matches, and it would be an hour or less, whatever. Because I mean, Dark again this week was like over 2 hours, and without the humor from Taz and Excalibur, like it's a little much
to watch. So. And there's nothing that breaks it up. They just keep throwing match after match after match, and it's like after a while. I can only take so much. 2 hours straight.
I feel like though that this week they've got, you know, like with the women's eliminator tournament specifically, they've got matches broken up. There's more matches on Sunday, and with the way that these networks and YouTube and everything work, like now these days you can kind of spread things out. So don't force me to sit there for 3 hours at any point and watch it. Like break it up throughout the week is good. I'm curious what's going to happen if. You've got Dynamite and you've got Dark and now you've got Dark Elevation and then you've got a second TNT show. Like, what does this mean when we maybe get to the point of touring again? Are they doing two live shows a week to like, where are you going to film all this stuff? Because that's the one thing again, that's weird to me in terms of setting a precedent is like right now you've got a million Dark matches that they can just film at 3:30 in the morning in front of no crowd, but you're not necessarily going to do that when you're, you know, running Dynamite in Rochester. Are you going to stay at the Blue Cross Arena all night with no fans, or have people stick around all night to film these matches with a bunch of indie guys? I don't know. It's just, we'll see how it all progresses. But I mean, more content's fine.
Yeah, I think eventually it'll go back to almost the way it was beforehand, where it was just a couple dark matches once everything gets back to touring. I mean, realistically, I hope anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree. And, you know, and I mean, and that's a good problem to have, I guess, once we can start touring again. Slowly but surely, that will happen. We're going to take a break on this, and I want to think about the next segment coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about the big happenings in the WWE last weekend with the Elimination Chamber and some fallout from what happened there. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man with DC, Dan Cole, Danger Boy, the Artiste, and Furby, and you. And thank you so much for listening. And we're never going to hear this music again, I'm guessing. We're never going to see Aleister Black again. He just disappeared, will never to be seen again. I mean, his wife is showing up someplace soon, Thea Trinidad, or Zelina Vega, or whatever you know her as. I saw the pictures come out today for her new gear, and she, you know, it's looking pretty hot. Probably going to show up where she was last, which was Impact Wrestling. That's just my guess. I have no idea. But Impact had a big signing this week. Now they officially signed EC3. He has a home now. It's going to be Impact Wrestling. But I teased as we went to break about the Elimination Chamber last weekend. Before we talk about some of the surprises that happened, I want to talk about the Chamber in general. Overall, the pay-per-view, or the view, whatever they call it nowadays. You can still buy it on pay-per-view, so I'm going to call it a pay-per-view. But I will tell you, I was pleasantly surprised with the quality of the matches on that show. I mean, to start off with, once the show started, to have the first Elimination Chamber for the WWE Universal Championship match chance, what a incredible Elimination Chamber match that I had with Daniel Bryan coming out on top. And, of course, then getting destroyed by Roman Reigns. And tell me if I'm wrong or not. And immediately following that match, Roman Reigns came out and, you know, took on the challenger. Of course, Daniel Bryan was dead because he had to beat all these other great wrestlers. But tell me if I'm wrong or not. Is Roman Reigns being booked as a weak champion because he can only beat somebody who's been beat down for the last 35 minutes in the Elimination Chamber? And then, you know, and then he barely beats him because he gets put in the yes lock or whatever, and he reverses it around and does his own finisher. Is that how you book a weak champion, Danger?
Historically speaking, like, this is the way WWE has booked their heel champions for the last, I don't know what, 20 years. I don't understand why it necessarily has to be that the heel champion can't win outright. I mean, I would get it, you know, in the 80s and early 90s when I was younger, maybe I wouldn't care as much. But I mean, you pushed him so much trying to make him a babyface superstar, and now all of a sudden you just flip the switch. I love the heel character, but there's nothing wrong with letting him be a legit guy who can legit beat any opponent he faces.
Danger.
I got to agree with that. I'm not necessarily saying it's a weak thing. They're trying to play it off like he's smarter than his opponents and he's using things to his advantage and stuff like that, especially with Heyman with him. But at the same time, like Danny said, there's nothing wrong with him just going out and killing somebody. I think the problem they have is they think he's going to get over and be cheered by doing that, which he probably will, because this is much better character than he's ever been in the entire history of the company.
Yeah, I agree with Danger on that one. I don't necessarily think it's a weak booking. I think it's just building up not the cowardly heel, because again, he's just trying to outsmart his guys and who he's facing. And I think that kind of works in the way he's portraying himself as the head of the table. And I prefer this version of Roman, obviously, over other variations of him. And I think this is the way to book it. I mean, he, in a way, his weakness is almost kind of dominating. And that's the way that I can think of it, really.
Artiste, any thoughts on that? I mean, I'm going to tell you one thing. Daniel Bryan got back a bunch of pins he's lost in the last month, too, in this match. He got back one from Jey Uso. He got back one from Cesaro. So it made Daniel Bryan come out looking great. But I still deeply feel that it was a weak, they're making him a weak champion. Okay, now, sorry.
I think he still looks stronger now than he ever has in terms of a singles run. So I don't think it's really, I don't know. Furby was saying, I don't think he's taking the cowardly way out per se, but he does have to play that heel role, and Heyman shouldn't try to just do things by the books. I think honestly, in terms of booking him strong, this is the best that he's ever been booked. I think this is the time where a lot of us are enjoying his work more than we ever have. The question is going to be WrestleMania. Is he going to beat Edge and solidify even more so being the guy? Or is he going to just drop the title to a guy that just came back and has been a part-timer the past year and was gone for 9 years and all that stuff? To me, I think he has to beat Edge at Mania. And then he's solidified as a true main event guy for good. Is he that way anyway, even if he loses? I don't know. But Edge doesn't need the title, in my opinion. I mean, yeah, he can add the Universal title to his list of everything else. But if you want to have him take the title, have him take it at Backlash or whatever 80 other pay-per-views are coming up after Mania. To me, that's the big thing. And who knows, we got that other stupid pay-per-view before WrestleMania that we don't need to. So I'm assuming he's not going to defend it there, but I don't know.
No. I honestly think Reigns holds it probably till next year. I don't see him losing. Honestly, if they're going to take this much time and invest this much into him becoming a heel, instead of being this big star that they tried to push for years and years down our throats. I mean, if you're going to really invest in this time and make him this type of character, you have to have him have the title. Keep the strap on him. Don't take it off yet.
Well, I will say one thing. WWE likes to do the chase, and that's what Edge is in right now, the chase. And I think, and I honestly, and this is how I feel right now, I honestly think he'll win the title at WrestleMania. I think, because they gave him the Royal Rumble. And I mean, that's pretty much a good nod in this company to, put you in the main event of WrestleMania. I honestly think, and maybe it's just like an honorable thing they're doing, for him or something. Honestly, Roman Reigns is, definitely a powerhouse younger guy and, should be able to beat someone like Edge. But I think the WWE, that's just how I feel about it. I think Edge is going to win the title, and I don't know if it's a good thing or not. I mean, we're still kind of dumbfounded that he won the Royal Rumble too. So, it's funny, is you guys hear the stories about Edge? He was on the booking committee, and not everybody agreed with his ideas when he was pitching ideas for things. And but someone like Daniel Bryan, every time he pitched something, they were loving it. And Daniel Bryan always would pitch himself to lose, and he pitched himself to lose in all these leading up to the Royal Rumble. He pitched himself to lose to all these guys to elevate them all. And then he went. Then he gets the pin back during the Elimination Chamber. But Edge, if Edge is booking this, if he has any say in this, then I still think he is. He's going to win. But the thing is about heels is two of Roman Reigns' guys were in that match, and so that's why I say he looks weak too, because he's always leaning on his table or whatever to go out and take care of everybody before he comes out and gets the easy pin. So I think it just that's how I feel. I just think it makes him look weak, and it's like in the end he's the big guy, he's the head of the table, whatever, and he did come out, and it was very, a minute and 22 seconds or whatever, 32 seconds to beat Daniel Bryan after the Elimination Chamber, which almost went 35 minutes, which is an incredible match. It was a lot of fun. And, but that wasn't the only big, surprise, I think, on the show, because we also got Riddle taking Bobby Lashley's United States Championship. by pinning John Morrison, who was thrown into the match because he had won on the earlier show. They had a four-way. Whoever won the four-way would go would take the Miz's – or no, not the Miz's spot, would take the – sorry, Lee, Mr. Lee's spot, who unfortunately – I don't know why he was pulled from that match. Was there a reason?
No. They say injuries.
Is an injury? Well, I mean, remember he was sitting for like a couple weeks because of COVID, right?
Yeah, his now fiance Mia Yim had COVID, so he was pulled from the Rumble. But the only thing that I saw the rumblings were injuries. Who knows?
Remember, this is the guy that also got sent back to retrain or to train more with the heavyweight train because Vince McMahon suggested it. So. Keith Lee taken out of the match. John Morrison put in. John Morrison lays, gets pinned, and now we got Riddle as United States champion. I don't have a problem with that. What do you guys think?
Absolutely loved it, especially with the context of what happened later in the night. They needed to elevate Bobby Lashley, and Bobby Lashley got elevated, and they couldn't have him in the main event scene with that title around his waist. So. It gives Riddle something to do. It breaks off that title from Lashley, and it allows Lashley to elevate to the main event type scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, I 100% agree with Danger. Seeing the rest of the night play out didn't make me upset that Lashley lost the title. This will give Riddle something to do. It'll be interesting to see what he does with it. But, yeah, seeing Lashley come out later in the night and establish himself in the main event scene was well worth that.
Yeah, and in my opinion, the match itself was very enjoyable, too. And if they do the whole Riddle title reign right, too, and I know they got this kind of like goofy character. I kind of wish it would be a little bit more serious. His exclusive promo on WWE's YouTube or whatever online was pretty awesome, actually. Finally, he kind of like took himself serious. So hopefully we get more of that side of him, too.
Well, I will say that
I don't know how he can take himself seriously with just the name Riddle. Give him his first name back, please. I'm not a big fan of his, as I've said before, but I mean, I think the booking was smart, so I'm not gonna hate on it. He's talented; people like him. As everybody said, Lashley getting to the spot that he did by the end of the night. Going to be interesting to see what happens Monday and in the next month or two with him. But Lashley's far overdue for something bigger in that company.
Well, so. I will say we had kind of a throwaway tag team, women's tag team match. I shouldn't say throwaway. I just felt it was putting off the last Elimination Chamber match, which Drew McIntyre defended his title, which was great. I mean, Randy Orton was thrown out before the last guy was released, which is always a shocker when someone does, when you don't get all the guys in the ring at the same time. I'm always shocked. And so Drew McIntyre ends up winning it. And then something that happened right before that match was we saw MVP and The Miz talking in the hallway. And it looked like they were in some pretty serious conversations. And then after Drew McIntyre wins and the cage comes up, out comes really ticked off Bobby Lashley. And Bobby Lashley just destroys Drew McIntyre, which, of course... I did call this one because it was pretty early in the night still, which of course led to The Miz cashing in his Money in the Bank, beating Drew McIntyre in 31 seconds, and now being the new WWE champion, which is good for The Miz. I mean, it was super. It was cool. I mean, it was going to happen. But I got to tell you, Drew McIntyre, if you haven't been following these guys be beyond WWE, when Drew McIntyre was in TNA, so was Bobby Lashley, and they tore the house down in a few pay-per-views in the main events, both going for the TNA heavyweight champion. And if you go back and watch, they had some, just huge match. Two big guys out there just doing crazy moves. And maybe you'll catch it on the TNA 60 Rewind or whatever that show is called on Tuesday nights. Well, they'll show these guys because I've seen a few of them where they've worked together and they work really well together. So it'd be great if Drew somehow gets the belt back and then can go take on Lashley at WrestleMania, because those guys I think would that would be a great match to put on the main event or somewhere on that card. But we have the Miz now, who's walking around with the champion, and first, and he really gets talked down to on Monday night by everybody. Miz out there getting MVPs getting in his face, and then of course Lashley, you know, saying you owe me. And what do you think? What do you guys think about Miz, you know, winning a second WWE championship?
I know there was a lot of backlash from people on it because, you know, they're like, oh, it's the Miz. He hasn't meant anything in a year and a half or something like that. But at the same time, you have to look at everything that was going on around and what they set up and actually set stuff up on Monday night. And you're going to see that the Miz isn't going to be the one that's going to be in that title picture very long. They had to get it somehow. My prediction is they're going to have Drew win it back at WrestleMania from Lashley in front of a crowd so he can finally get that moment he didn't get last year. And I have no problem with that at all, except for the fact I want Lashley to keep in that title picture for a lot longer.
I was just going to say, I like Miz winning. I don't know if I was one of the few people that enjoyed his first WWE championship reign. I love what they're doing, and I simultaneously am cringing at what's about to happen. I just see the WWE championship becoming a game of hot potato right now. I easily see Miz dropping it as soon as next week. And then as soon as he drops it to Lashley, I see Lashley dropping it right back to Drew McIntyre for the exact reason Danger laid out, that Drew is due his big win in front of a crowd at WrestleMania. And then ideally, as terrible as this sounds, I'd like to see Drew immediately drop it back to Lashley. And I'd like to see Lashley get a run, because I don't necessarily know if it's entirely Drew's fault, just the circumstances of the era and time in which he got his big championship run, but it's been nothing special. It really hasn't. And again, I don't know if that's because we haven't had that crowd, that energy, but they've taken Drew, who was a stellar performer, and he still is, but they've made him just the most bland, vanilla, generic face, and it's just not working for me.
I agree. I think that the Lashley we're seeing is a Lashley that was the TNA champion too, when he was a TNA champion, where he came out and just killed everybody. And it's like, you know, he kind of like was treading water there as the U.S. heavyweight champion there for a while. You know, but what do you think, Artiste?
I agree that McIntyre should get it back at some point. I don't think that needs to be immediately if we have all these other people in the picture. I'm happy to see Miz finally get the title back again. I liked his first reign. I'd love to see Miz at some point, you know, earn it through a legit singles run and something other than a cash-in, to be honest. He's not the best wrestler in the world, but to me, he's put in the time and deserves an actual run at some point, not a cash in and lose it a week later or whatever. I think, you know, Lashley is somebody who should have maybe the biggest run of all these guys soon. I just don't, the timing of all this is weird. It's like, oh, well, we got to give it to Miz now, but now we got to get him back for the Bad Bunny match at Mania or whatever the hell they're going to do that. Yeah. I don't need there. But I think it's okay. I don't think McIntyre needs to win it back at Mania per se. I think we can hold off till even SummerSlam or something and still, you know, maybe space it out a little bit and let people get interested in him again in a live aspect. I don't know. But I was happy to see Miz take it.
All right, we're going to take a break on that. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. We're coming back to the ex-WWE champion's music. That's right, Drew McIntyre. I'm the Cashman. I'm here with the Artiste, Furby, Danger Boy, DC Dan Cole, and everybody someplace else. I'm downtown Rochester. We appreciate you listening. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Do not miss us every week. Usually we're followed up by Bob Matthews, but not this week. So it's because we got Syracuse basketball at 11. So we're the lead-in to Syracuse basketball today, guys. Isn't that cool? Syracuse had big deal. They've had some.
Let's go Temple.
Syracuse had some good games lately, man. They won a tight one last weekend, and you know they need to win a few more to get into the tournament, whenever that is, wherever that may be. But we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling, as always.
And we're not leading into RIT hockey either.
We are not leading into RIT
more
hockey.
More cancellations.
Oh yeah, well, not yeah. Tonight there was supposed to be a game. It will not be played tonight. If you don't know, now you do. But we're still here talking about pro wrestling and our love of pizza, of course, because we're brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Light Empire Culver. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that happened this past week. I got a couple little elements. We're going to preview AEW this week coming up because this is we got some important things that are going on this week. And we mentioned earlier, Shaq is going to be wrestling on TV on Wednesday night. Shaq, that's right. You know, I mean, well, you know, I don't know what wrestling means to him. You know, I mean, I don't know. But you know, with the Big Show now in AEW, I think we're going to see something. So I would not be surprised in the least if something happened between them two. But before we talk about that, I want to mention Voodoo Alexa Bliss on Monday night. And what'd you guys think about 2 weeks in a row she's in a pentagram, and this time she's making Randy Orton vomit black stuff. It looked like tar. You know, and it brought me back to Papa Shango, which I think it did to everybody. You know, it was like Papa Shango and the Ultimate Warrior, you know, when the Ultimate Warrior started choking and then this white stuff was coming out of his mouth. Kind of weird. You know, I mean, I know, yes, we're going to get the Fiend back. And I hear the Fiend's going to have a new mask, too. Maybe a friendlier looking mask than he's had before. And maybe that's what this is all set up to happen. It probably will happen at WrestleMania. What do you guys think about the Voodoo Alexa Bliss thing going on? Danger?
I mean, it is what it is at this point. It's gone on too long. they're doing I have no problem with Alexa being bad and doing the stupid gimmicks and you know the swing set and all that stuff. But when you start coughing up black, I don't even know whether it's black liquid. I don't know. Maybe he ate some bad licorice. I'm not really sure exactly what happened, but all of a sudden he's coughing up black liquid, and you know that stuff is. It had its role in the early 90s. It doesn't necessarily fit now unless they're bringing back Papa Shango, in which case I'm 100% for it.
A little burning skull on a stick and stuff. Danny?
Of course.
Danny, what do you think? Danny's just shaking his head.
Well, I mean, because Danger nailed it on the head. This has been going on far too long, and there's really been nothing advancing here. I don't know where it's going, and I'm getting to the point where I frankly don't care. I think the only thing that would have made it better, though, is as Orton is coughing up this black liquid, he just exclaims, "My soul!"
I mean, I think they really missed the boat on really picking back steam up on the whole rivalry. I think Fiend probably should have been involved in the elimination of Randy Orton from the Elimination Chamber, or at least an attack after he got eliminated. I mean, I understand you want to delay him coming back, obviously, because he was set on fire and everything, but
who forgot about that?
I mean, Randy
Orton's face was set on fire, and we still get to see him every week.
Exactly. He was fine in a few weeks, but I don't know. Like, and it's unfortunate because I think I like the Fiend a lot, so it's kind of weird to me feel stale on it right now, but I just hope something happens positive pretty soon.
Artiste.
They're trying to do something different. I don't care. All I can say is to follow up on Danger's comment, all black licorice is bad licorice.
What?
It's disgusting.
I love black licorice. That's what's inside a Good and Plenty, okay? It's black licorice. You ever have a Good and Plenty?
That's why no one likes Good and grabbing a candy that you think is like grape. And then you taste it, and it's actually black licorice. No, thank you. Whoever decides to do that should be in jail.
He talked about the bad licorice, and immediately my mind goes to Garth in Wayne's World.
Oh, yeah, too. All day.
There's some bad Red Road licorice circulating in the audience.
Okay. Okay, so we all kind of feel the same way. We don't care. We got AEW Dynamite. We're going to this week coming up, we've got some truly spectacular things. I mentioned a minute ago, Shaq and Jade Cargill versus Cody Rhodes and Red Velvet. That's going to draw a lot of the curiosity looks, you know, which maybe we'll hit a million because of this. They're still trying to get that break that million mark. I'm excited about that. But what I'm really excited about is FTR and Tully Blanchard versus Jurassic Express, because Tully Blanchard is man who we've not seen in the ring in many, many years. And he's going to be getting, he'll be part of the three-man team of FTR and Tully Blanchard. So I'm kind of excited about that. Tully, you know, he was known for the suplex slingshot that you do the suplex and then you drop him on the top rope and slingshot him into like a power bomb almost. And maybe we'll get a shot of that during it. Jericho and MJF are going to be having a press conference to talk about their going after the titles next weekend, the weekend after that. And we got the Dark Order, Matt Hardy, Private Party, and the Hybrids. They're going to be a huge match with those guys. Dark Order's kind of on the outs with Matt Hardy. He's kind of ticked off because Matt Hardy and Adam Page are kind of, and Adam Page is accepted into the Dark Order. He's not quote unquote part of them, you know, but he's still their friend, I guess. But you know, Matt Hardy's going to be wrestling him for 1/3 of the year's paycheck or something like that on the pay per view. You know, 2 weeks from Friday, from Sunday, or a week from Sunday at this point. I know it's 2 weeks from Sunday, so it's going to be a good show. I'm looking forward to it. You guys think we're going to get a lot of curiosity eyes on that?
I don't know. I can't say whether or not it is. I know that's not the reason I'm going to be watching. Because the gimmick matches don't do anything for me. I'm not going to be excited to see Shaq in the ring. I'm not going to be excited to see Bad Bunny in the ring. I was never excited to see Floyd Mayweather or Aki Bono in a ring. Like, that's not why I watch. So I'm kind of a bad person to ask about that.
No Stephen Amell? No.
He was okay.
Yeah.
Snooki.
Pat McAfee was okay.
Snooki with John Cena. Could have
done without Snooki.
Yeah, she did that.
Could have done without Maria Menounos.
Yeah, in the white pants.
It was makeup, Cash.
Okay. Well, we're also going to get the Paul White's first appearance with AEW as well. And so maybe that'll coincide with Shaq, Jade Cargill, Cody Rhodes and Red Velvet there. We'll see. But I mean, it's super exciting.
I'm kind of confused as to why, like, this match has been built up for months. And to me, like, Dynamite this week, like the go home for that or whatever, like none of these people appeared. Like they had the little montage where Shaq's standing outside the ring and stuff, but like,
yeah, and she's working out and he's watching her.
More from the people actually in the match this week to actually promote, like, oh, this huge match is coming up next week. Like, to me, the hype isn't really there as much as it could be. I also don't really care about that match, but I mean, I don't know. Hopefully it's okay. It makes me a little nervous kind of that it's a live episode and not a taped episode. So we'll see how it goes.
Oh, there is definitely train wreck potential all day.
Ferbs?
Well, and it honestly got so weird, too, when, like, Red Velvet, like, stepped into the match. Because, like, if anything, they should have found more ways to build her up on TV. She should have actually been on Dynamite this week to promote it more or something. Because it's like, oh, yeah, she's just a replacement for Brandy. And, like, I don't know. The whole thing is just kind of weird. A quick side note. I mean, obviously, like, I'm a big fan of AEW. It's become like my favorite wrestling TV show to watch, like maybe ever, to be honest. But like these taped episodes every other week are really starting to bother me in a lot of ways. Like the commentary in post-production is driving me up a wall. To me, it is so obvious when they're taped and when they're live, and I want more consistency. Maybe I notice things like that more than the casual wrestling fan. But there's just times where it sounds like Shivani had to record a line on his cell phone and send it in for them to edit into the show. Yo, whatever the case is, it just doesn't.
Yeah, you're like, right. They like cut to break or something, and you can hear it sounds like it's completely done at a different time or something.
everything's all chopped up. Like, I don't care. Like, I like the fact if you have to do a taped episode every other week, that makes perfect sense to me. That's fine. And you don't have fans there, which is good, to be honest, because then we're not getting the spoilers, and I don't want the spoilers. But can we at least still film it the same way? Like, film it live to tape, film the commentary live. Like, don't make it so blatantly obvious that it's like edited, and then like next week we get like the whole awesome picture, and then who knows the week after that if they're back to taped after the pay-per-view. I don't know. I just that has been bothering me. It bothered me a lot, especially early in this week's episode.
Okay, we got to go to break, folks. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, Danger Boy, Furby, the Artiste, and you. And this is our last segment, so real quickly we're going to do our match of the week as well. Real quickly, we're going to go through a few pieces of news. NXT put out a list of a whole bunch of new signees coming in to the NXT, to the Training Performance Center. And a few of them are pretty cool, man. We already saw Eli Drake, LA Knight, on the NXT pay-per-view 2 weeks ago. He's definitely one of them. But a couple of names that were surprising were John Morrison's wife is going to be there. Wait a second. What's her name?
Taya Valkyrie.
But she has a real different name, I'm guessing. It's Kira Magnon Forster. She got signed, as well as the son of Rick Steiner, Bronson Reichsteiner. And the guy looks like $1 million. Have you seen pictures of him? This dude is built. There's a guy, Parker Boudreaux, who I talked about a couple weeks ago, who looks like a younger Brock Lesnar. He's coming in. Got a whole handful of new people coming in. Zoe Stark, who we saw on NXT. Was that the NXT this past week?
Yep.
Yeah, Zoe Stark took on the champion, and it was a great match. That was super exciting. So there's a look for some new people coming into NXT. I mean, you know, that's why they need another show, man. JB starting that new show with Gabe, you know, a former Evolve, former Ring of Honor, former ECW's Gabe. So Gabe Sapolsky, it's going to, you know, they're going to have a whole lot of talent to work with. And I'm sure it's Reich and Steiner, you know, since Scott Steiner was really good friends with JB, I'm sure he'll do justice to Rick's kid. So that's kind of exciting coming up. But we're going to do, as we close out the show this week, do our match of the week. We've all got picks for what we think, you know, the best matches of the week. I'm going to start off by going with my match of the week is, let's see. Boy, there's so many good ones out there. I'll hold off on mine. Why don't you go first, Furby?
All right, my match of the week, actually, we mentioned a name already. It's Zoe Stark versus Io Shirai from NXT this past Wednesday.
All right.
I'm going to jump in, and I'm going with the SmackDown Elimination Chamber match. That's the best Elimination Chamber match I've ever seen.
All right, Friday.
I'm going to concur with Danger Boy. That was going to be my pick as well.
Wait, which one was that again?
The SmackDown one.
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That was without a doubt. I mean, the way Daniel Bryan sold like a champ, that's great.
I would agree that was maybe the best Elimination Chamber match. I'm going to go with Lance Archer against Rey Fénix, the main event on Dynamite. That was 20 plus minutes of just awesomeness. And Lance Archer, everybody talks about Rey Fénix, and yes, he's unbelievable and the things that he can do and stuff, but they're starting to let Lance Archer be the superstar that he's always had the potential to be. So I can't wait to see what's to come for him.
Yeah, and that was a fantastic match. And those guys used to be partners, apparently, from the backstage interview they did where they started brawling. Which I thought was pretty cool. My match of the week was a Friday night's Moxley Kenta match.
And you know, I haven't had a chance to watch that yet. I can't wait to see it.
But you know who the big winner was there, Cash?
We all were the winner.
Wrestling fans.
That's right. So yeah, that you definitely don't.
It certainly was a wrestling match.
Yes, you
certainly. It certainly was.
And it was definitely the IWGP US champion too.
Yeah. So and
what a finish.
Definitely. So, I mean, you definitely, if you didn't catch it, you definitely want to go catch it. Definitely catch it. So we got to get out of here. We got just enough time, maybe another piece of news before we get out of here. WWE and A&E Arts and Entertainment Channel are going to have their announced the premiere dates for their full detail in the 10-week original program partnership that begins Sunday, April 18th. They're going to do 8 2-hour episodes of their hit biography show. They've got great ones. These are going to be Steve Austin, Randy Savage, Roddy Piper, Booker T, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Mick Foley, and The Ultimate Warrior. Each will air weekly at 8 p.m. beginning Sunday, April 18th. And then they're going to do this weird show after that. It's called WWE's Most Wanted Treasures, where they go out and look for like missing iconic memorabilia items. And I don't know about that. I mean, is this Pawn Stars? But Stephanie McMahon is going to be hosting with Triple H. So
I'm actually interested to see what they do with that one.
I'm definitely interested. From what I've seen in a lot of the hobby and collecting stuff, it'll be pretty cool to see what's out there.
Very cool. Well, you know what? We're up against it, so I want to let everyone know that they can hear all our old shows on iTunes or go to thepainclinic.net. You can find all our old shows. Be our friend on Facebook. You know, if you have a comment or a question, you can send it to us through Facebook. We will read it, I promise. And if it's good, we'll even talk about it on the air. And, please, let's hope sometime soon. I just saw news that the Buffalo Sabres are going to be able to, starting in March, are going to be able to fill 10% of their arena. Maybe we'll get wrestling back.
And the Amherst just said they are not letting fans back in.
I heard that. The Amherst said they weren't. So what? Just sad. But hopefully we can get to a wrestling show real soon. I want to thank you guys for being here. We'll see you next week, folks. Same bat time, same bat channel. No, they deserve what truly evil. I do the